in the book of Matthew. Once again, we're going back to Matthew chapter 5 in a moment, but I want to start out with Matthew chapter 13. So turn to Matthew 13 first. Now, I'm on this series here that's called The Blessed Life. It was so much of a blessing yesterday to be able to do a renewal of vows here for Loretta and for Richard Master back here in the back. These folks are celebrating 50 years of wedded bliss. Amen. Now, what's the exact date? What's the exact date now for your anniversary? Okay, 16th of October, so it's only just a couple of days ago here. These guys had 50 years of again, being married. And the good news was they had their family come together yesterday here. About 150 or so folks were in this congregation, just having great barbecue and fellowship here, reminiscing all the good things God's done for them. And some of you ladies are here need to take note. If you're getting closer and closer to 50 years of being married, have a big celebration like this, because she actually got a great ring from that celebration. Amen. And so you guys are really robbing yourselves by not having a celebration like that. It's an excellent chance for your husband to release that new ring to you. Amen. And Richard did really good. Richard has had great taste, and it's a great blessing to Loretta there. And so you guys have your second honeymoon coming up here in a while in Kentucky. Have great traveling mercies. Be blessed here. Appreciate this couple, all that God's done for them these 50 years. I'm talking to you on this series that's called The Blessed Life. This morning is called Blessed Are the Merciful. We're going to spend time about God's mercy and God's kindness. I appreciate, again, Sister Letty here, just letting the Holy Spirit speak to her, give her a teaching. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, when we come together, all of us have a psalm, a hymn, sometimes a teaching. And so she had a revelation there of what God was saying to us today. And we got to understand, again, that we are sometimes, as years go by, in what we call Christianity, God wants to realize that God's a God of relationships. God's a God that's near us. When we come together like this, we do this because God wants to bless us. God wants to bring what's called a corporate anointing among us. I believe all of us have angels even, and all of our angels come together. The Spirit of God's in us comes together. There's actually a great anointing. There's a great release of revelation, of encouragement and strength we receive by coming together. What's called the Koinonia Fellowship of the body of Christ brings blessing and brings life. Amen. And so praise God for the word that came forth here today. We're here for a purpose. And I talked here in the last week or so because some folks were gone last week. I want to do a little bit of review from this last week's teaching. Talked about how, again, our life as believers is now in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God working in us is more like the work of a tree than an onion. We hear the onion example, like I've said time and again, how we peel the layers off the onion, kind of like our life gets unfolded. But again, the problem with that is the onion gets smaller and smaller and smaller and abides by itself, whereas a tree, the rings get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the tree also grows itself and becomes more productive as the years go by. The Bible is very clear. It says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day, which means until we see Jesus Christ face to face and receive our glorified body. Last week also was about leaven. Holy Spirit talked to me about how leaven works inside of us by the Holy Spirit's power and work. And that leaven working inside of us also brings an expansion to us that brings forth a blessing and a glory, not just for ourselves, but also those we touch upon the earth. So in this message here that's called the Sermon on the Mount, it's not about, again, sowing and reaping. We've been taught in times past that the Sermon on the Mount here is if we are those who are full of mercy, if we actually have mercy, or those that are pure of heart, we shall receive being able to see God. Those who are pure in heart, blessed are they, because they shall see God. So if we do this, then God will do this. It's not talking really about sowing and reaping. If we do this, God will do this. What God is saying to us in the Sermon on the Mount and on the blessed bees in Matthew chapter 5, he's saying there, whenever my Spirit comes inside of you, my kingdom begins to work in you. These are the things that shall begin to transform and change inside your mind, your heart, your actions, and your thinking. You'll be blessed because these things of the kingdom working in you shall then bring forth this kind of a fruit out of your life, and you'll find yourself wanting to be pure in heart. You'll find yourself being pure in heart automatically as you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and because of that, the blessing is you shall see God better than ever before in your life. Amen? We're going to talk more about that also in this message. The Bible says those that are poor in spirit, those that are humble, they're going to tap into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they. Blessed are those who are merciful, because the Bible says there shall be comfort come to those who are merciful. says, blessed are those also who receive again the ability to be meek upon the earth, because theirs shall be an inheritance of upon this earth. So God is saying to us again, I shall work in you meekness. I shall work in you mercy. I shall work in you the thing of purity, and that blessing shall be to you, that in return you're going to find yourself having comfort, having peace, having God's kingdom, having an inheritance take place in your life as a blessing from the thing that the kingdom of God works in you by the Spirit of the Lord. Matthew 13, verse 31 through 33 verifies what I was talking about last week. We're more like a tree than we are an onion, because it talks about a parable that Jesus Christ gave to us. For it says here, another parable, chapter 13. Another parable he put forth to them. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. Mustard seeds are a type of an herb. Mustard seeds grow into mustard plants, which I understand are not much bigger than dandelions or things of that nature. But it goes on and says this, when it grows, it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and actually becomes a tree. So God says, my kingdom works in you. You might have saw yourself as this or that or the other in your own flesh, but God sees you as not a just a herb, but like a mustard plant. He sees you like a mighty oak tree that gets bigger and bigger and goes through transformation and becomes something totally different in the plant kingdom that brings forth a much greater fruit than a mustard tree or mustard plant ever could bring forth in its own natural self. Do you see that? Then it goes on and says, it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And I said, think about us being blessed is we're not just blessed for ourselves. We are blessed to become a blessing. As a tree gets bigger, it puts out more shade. It brings forth lumber in its death. It brings forth a place for birds to nest and squirrels to nest and produce young and reproduce themselves. It even brings forth sometimes fruit and great abundant fruit for people in the household, wherever that tree is planted at, even beyond that as well. That's the kind of thing God works in us, not just for our sake, but also the sake of folks around us. Amen? Then it goes on, as Christ goes on and says this, the kingdom of heaven is also like leaven, which a woman takes, hides it in three measures of meal till it was all leavened throughout the entire lump. And I felt the Spirit of God last week breathing on this truth and saying, he wants that leaven that's already in us to start leavening the whole lump, because we are doughboys and doughgirls for Jesus Christ. Amen? He wants that dough to rise. He wants that dough to be baked. And he wants that dough to be bread that goes out to your community and people around you to bless your life, but also bless their life as well. And guess what? Nothing smells better than cooked bread. Amen. As God bakes us, God cooks us, we rise with him, we're going to put out such a fragrance, it's going to draw folks to us by God's Spirit. Amen. Have you ever walked through Austin Bergstrom Airport and smelled the Cinnabons? Have you ever gone to Slotsky's and smelled those Cinnabon rolls? That's the kind of fragrance God wants to put on the body of Christ. Leaven working in us will make us have a fragrance that's like Jesus Christ himself, and people are drawn to that fragrance by his Spirit. Amen. So moving on, in Matthew chapter 5, now get your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5, we see again the blessed are's. We see it nine times mentioned there, blessed are this, blessed are that. Many think, again, this is a Sermon on the Mount, but actually Matthew 5, 6, and 7, all three chapters are Jesus preaching on the Mount. He's on the mountain giving a message there. So not just Matthew 5, the first few verses there is Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. It's actually all three chapters are Jesus preaching from the Mount. Now, in this preaching, we see here time and time again that Christ is beginning his earthly ministry. Jesus Christ is doing a first fruits message and trying to show what is important, because he's saying to them, you heard it said in times past, but now I say. In these three chapters, time and again, Jesus says, you've heard it said, but now I say. What he was saying was, the old covenant, the old truths are still truths, but they were only types and shadows of the reality of God's kingdom, who's among you right now in the shape and form of Jesus Christ, of whom I am. I'm going to die on the cross, but I'm going to rise again. When I rise again, I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit to dwell among you and in you in a great way. God's going to call you the temple of the Holy Spirit. And my kingdom shall come upon this earth. It shall be in you, but also needs to come out of you and influence this world like salt and light upon the earth. And I believe that God wants to catch this truth today, that we are blessed, not again just for ourselves, we are blessed to be a blessing. And we're going to dwell upon some things here about mercy also in this message today. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is the cup of my new covenant." So to be a new covenant, there must have been an old covenant. And the problem many Christians have, they spend too much time dwelling upon the old truths, the old law, trying to serve an angry God, a vengeful God, a wrathful religious God. And the truth is, we serve a kind God, a just God, a gracious God, a God who loves us, and a God who's for us, and a God who wants to work through us according to his good pleasure. And the fact also is, you serve a God who says your sins are away from you as far as east is from the west. Don't let the devil beat you down any longer by past mistakes and by past sins. You are blessed because I say you're blessed, says the Lord. Amen? Not because of works, not because of things you do, but because I say you're blessed. You are blessed, says the Lord. So we need to be careful, not find ourselves being pulled back to the old covenant ways. This is Jesus Christ's first explanation of the truth that's going to make up the new covenant truths that he talked about again and again and again in his teachings and preachings in his 3.5 years on the earth. So let's get our Bibles. Look at Matthew chapter 5 once again. Let's start here in verse 1 and read these verses here. They're starting out the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus Christ, the disciples, and all those multitudes listening to them. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes," in verse 1, "He went up on a mountain. When he was seated there, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake.'" Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they also persecuted the prophets who were before you." You see that Jesus Christ repeats again the words "blessed" 9 times in these 12 verses. Whenever you see Jesus in the Bible say the same word again and again and again, he's trying to get our attention to say, this is the central theme of what I'm saying in this teaching to you people. He's saying there again, don't focus on the negative things of these 12 verses. Focus on the word blessed, 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 because you are blessed. Amen? This shows that this is the central theme and what Christ is getting his focus on here. So I want to give you guys now today what's called 3 take-home points to write down in your bulletins. Richard, write down your bulletins. That's an inside joke from yesterday. And get your pen and paper out, write some things down, write some notes down, check these things out beyond today. The first thing is, blessings aren't earned, they are a gift. Blessings aren't earned, they are a gift. The problem with seeing this verse as earn these blessings is these verses actually create in us a mystery on how we actually could earn what God is saying to earn here through Jesus Christ. If he wants us to do this to earn these blessings, what do we actually do to earn those blessings? This picture on the screen here, that I think Kristen got for me, if it shows up. We've seen this at state fairs across our country. This is called the Ring the Bell game. And of course, the harder you hit that little lever at the bottom, the higher the little metal thing goes up to the top, and hopefully it'll finally reach the top and ring the bell. Now, what Jesus Christ is not saying here is play this game. He's not saying to us, If one day you wake up and say, man, I'm going to be a person who's going to be a peacemaker. You know, I find my own family arguing sometimes, rapping sometimes. I'm going to get on the telephone. I'm going to write some notes. I'm going to be a great peacemaker this day. And you put that hammer down, and you try to hit that little wedge, little metal wedge there, and see how high it goes. And it goes about this high. The next day it goes a little higher. Next day, not quite so high. Is that what Jesus Christ really is saying to us? How do you really ever know when you finally ring the bell? When you're finally meek enough, merciful enough, peacemaker enough, pure in heart enough to finally reach the final bell there that says, okay, I see that, says God. You rung the bell. I'm now going to release a blessing into your life. Is that how God works? That's called religion. That's called works. That's called bondage. That's not called the freedom that comes to us by the love of Jesus Christ. These verses here don't talk about how we do this and try to ring the bell every day by our good works and our good things. It's talking there about how you have God's kingdom now living in you. Because of that, I'm going to start working meekness in you. I'm going to start working mercy in you. I'm going to start working purity of heart in you. And because of that, there shall come blessings in your life automatically. That's why God says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then automatically all these things shall be added to you automatically. Not by your works, not by your righteousness, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are already blessed. There's going to be a key release today. We're going to catch hold of this before we get out of here today, I believe. They're going to show us how these blessings are going to be released. It's being actually, I believe, sometimes trapped in us, held captive, that God wants to release through us, not just for our sake, but also the sake of those we influence on the face of this earth. By God's Spirit. As you read the Bible, you need to realize that nobody, no one verse can fully explain the depth, the height, the magnitude of the kingdom of Almighty God. No one verse can do that. Just like John 3:16, as great as John 3:16 is, John 3:16 by itself does not totally explain the love of God for people. We also need Ephesians. We also need Romans chapter 8. Neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? We also need 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love is this. Love is that. We also need 1 John 4, 7, and 8. For love is of God. Everything, everyone that loves, loves God. For God is love. You see, we need not just one verse about God's kingdom to explain God's kingdom. We need the full counsel of the Word of God that comes together to explain to us what the kingdom of God is really all about. That's why Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is like this and this and this and this in parable, because it's so great and so vast. Like James said this morning that John Bevere brought forth, there's so many facets to God's nature, God's character, God's truth, and God's glory. Angels are saying, holy, 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 every second, seeing brand new facets of who God is. God's kingdom is in you. It's like leaven that is working inside of you, plumping you out, filling you out, and causing you to bear more and more fruit the older you get in your lives. Amen? We read Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 last week. Galatians 3, 29 says, if you are Christ's, which we are, if we're born again, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what promise did God give to Abraham that says we are seeds of Abraham and we're heirs to the promise that God gave Abraham? Genesis chapter 12 is where God tells Abraham, you are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed above all nations. You shall increase and multiply upon the face of the earth. And your descendants shall also be blessed to inherit the land, says the Lord. So what God's saying to us today, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have inherited the promises God gave Abraham over 5,000 years ago. The kingdom of God in us releases that blessing to us to receive those same promises God gave him. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? And so I said to you guys last week again, no matter what you're going through in life right now, whether it be a sickness, an almost divorce, a bankruptcy, those things are all things the earth and the devil can throw at us. But the truth is, God always has the final say. And the truth is, we are still blessed of God because we pass through the valley of the shadows of death. And goodness and mercy still follows us every day of our lives. And God has the final say in our lives. I told the congregation last week that illustration, how the Israelites facing the Red Sea crossing, facing the Egyptian army going to kill them and attack them and kill them in that order more so. Did they feel blessed that moment, that day? No, they did not. But we know the whole story that they were blessed. Amen? Because we know that Moses raised that rod up at God's command, parts the Red Sea. They go across, saved on dry land with water on both sides of them. The waters come back in on the Egyptians, kill them, cut them off. And we see, oh yes, they are blessed. You see, we knew they were blessed even before the waters were parted. And the same thing's true in your life. God will part the waters for you today like he did back then for them. Because you are blessed. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Amen? They'll be formed against you, but they will not prosper in Jesus' name. You get that inside your mind and your heart. Okay, let's move on here. We already have God's blessing because we belong to God through Jesus Christ's finished work that works in us. We are blessed. We're meant to be a blessing because God's kingdom has come to us. We are blessed upon this earth. So when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, we know the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Amen? So what God is saying here is, it's not a blessing to mourn. Because I know myself, when I take and I see a death in a family, when I see someone like Ed Starr pass away, when I see Cass Torres go on the Lord, and Mary's here as well, I appreciate Mary so much. We don't like to go through mourning from losing people, losing loved ones, losing health, losing money, losing jobs. We don't like to mourn. It's not a pleasant, it's not blessed to be mourning. Amen? But it says, blessed are those folks who mourn, for it says they shall receive the kingdom, or they shall be comforted by God. The blessing is the comforter in us will comfort us no matter what the world or the devil throws at us. No matter how much mourning we go through in life, the blessing is you are going to be finding yourselves divinely comforted by God. That brings a peace that will pass all understanding in your life. Amen? And I even said last week also, God does, as far as mourning goes, God gives us the ability to empathize with those who are going through pain around us. I don't enjoy crying for the pain of the people in Syria who are refugees facing death and starvation and facing hardships and lost homes and lost culture and so forth and so on. I don't rejoice in mourning for them, but the Holy Spirit will come on me and I'll find myself empathizing with God and with them that they find themselves rescued in Jesus' name. And the good news is if I will mourn for them, I believe they will be comforted. Because the blessing in my life shall go into their life. There's an anointing, a leaven working in me, a tree being formed in me that brings shade not just to me, but also brings shade to them. Brings fruit not just to me, but also brings fruit also unto them. Amen? And so the blessing of empathy is it'll cause you to be able to touch people in a way where God shows up and God brings divine comfort. The blessing is a comfort. The blessing is not the mourning. Amen? But he says, my kingdom in you will cause you to mourn, cause you to empathize, but the blessing will be divine comfort will come in your life and there. I want to spend time on that to make sure you catch that and realize that. Number two, point number two is this. Blessings include obtaining mercy. Blessings include obtaining mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 again says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy. So we go from blessed to actually being a blessing. And that's what shift God wants the body of Christ in America and around the world to realize is that Jesus Christ and his kingdom is not just about a bless me club for us. It's about us being a blessing upon the face of the earth. Those who want to be great in God's kingdom must learn to be a servant of all people. Amen. What that means is falling in love with God means falling in love with people because people matter to God. And you cannot outgive God. Amen? If you show people mercy, show people comfort, show people grace, God will always give back to you more comfort, more grace than they even receive themselves. Because you cannot outgive God. You believe that? Not just money, also mercy, also comfort, also good things God pours into your bosom. So moving on. The blessing is you have obtained mercy. Because you've obtained mercy, you are now empowered to be merciful in your life, full of mercy. When Jesus Christ read this to the men and women on the mountainside, he was announcing it is something that was going to come. We mean that there is something that's already happening in us. They were not yet seeing Jesus Christ dying on the cross, rising again. He was preaching things to come to them. We see it as a finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's already come to us in Jesus' name. Look at the definition now. Write this down in your notes perhaps. What does mercy actually mean? What's mercy mean? Mercy means to show compassion, to extend help for the consequences of sin. And the question is, has God done that for you? Has God erased your sin, and God erased also the consequence of your sin? Well, the answer, of course, is yes, he has, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God, there's now no more condemnation, no more judgment over people who have sinned in times past. Their sins are gone. Their sins are washed away. No more punishment over your heads by sins you've done upon the earth. Amen? God's extended mercy to us. Now, God said, because I've given mercy to you, you now are merciful people who can also show mercy to people around you upon the earth. Ephesians chapter 2 goes on and tells us, we were all born into sin. We are all sinners. The Bible also says sin has consequences. Do you realize that? I've heard somebody say one time, a preacher said one time, that sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Isn't that true? It will always cost you more. It will always last longer, take you further than you want to go to. Sin has consequences to that. King David had no idea when he had a lustful thought towards a naked lady named Bathsheba having a bath. He said, all I want to do now is have a one-night stand, a quick little fling, no harm done, no big deal, just one woman here that I'm seeing with no clothes on. He brings her into his house. We all know the story. They commit adultery. The Bible says now, all of a sudden, she's pregnant. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It'll always last longer than you want to last. It'll always cost more than you want to pay. Because she becomes pregnant, her husband gets murdered. He gets murdered, they get married. They get married, they bear a son named Solomon. Solomon gets very wise. God anoints him. God says, well, he's the man to take your place, David, and build my temple and rule over Israel, hopefully in righteousness. The problem is because of the iniquity of lust in Bathsheba and David goes into Solomon, and he has 1,000 wives out of lust. They're foreign wives, pagan wives, demonic wives. And the Bible says they turn the heart of Solomon away from God and to the devil. You see that? And then from that, a son is born named Jeroboam. Jeroboam splits the kingdom of Israel in two with Rehoboam's help. Israel goes into 500 years of Babylonian captivity because David had sinned with Bathsheba and bears a child years and years ago. Sin will always take you further than you want it to take you. It'll always cost more than you want to pay, take you down places you don't want to stay at. Amen? So I'm saying let's take and nip it in the bud like Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. When we see that naked lady out of our window, close the blinds. Amen? It's time to shut the door, keep out the devil, say no to sin, realizing this sin has got wages to that I don't want to pay. Amen. Enough said about that. God could have hardened David's heart or his own heart toward us because God, though, is merciful. God said, I see man's sin. I see man's propensity to go towards sin. But I will not harden my heart towards mankind. I've made a covenant with them. I will choose instead to bring my own best gift, my son Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for their sins so that all those who call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Praise God for God's mercy. We're alive today in 2015 because God had mercy on us 2,000 years ago on the cross. Christ could have said a few words and brought down legions of angels and wiped the entire world out right there. But praise God, because of mercy in Jesus, he said, Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. And beyond that, there's a Pentecost. Beyond that, there's an open grave. Beyond that, there's now mega churches across the entire world. Beyond that, we now see over 1 billion believers who praise and worship and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the earth today. And may God's kingdom still expand more and more until Christ comes back. Amen. Let's look now at 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, this one verse. In 2 Samuel 24, 14, back to David again. David goes ahead and sins one more time, as if Bathsheba's not enough. And he counts some armies of Israel. God said, don't count their numbers. By doing that, it shows pride and arrogance. Don't do it. But David couldn't help himself. How many army members do we have? How big are we? So David, in verse 14, sins. And now God brings a prophet named Gad to prophesy to him punishment. And David said to Gad, I am in distress now. Please let me fall into the hands of God for punishment. For his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. He could face fleeing from his enemies. He could face famine and pestilence for 3 years. He could face 3 days at the hands of God. He said, please let me fall into the hands of God because God's merciful. The Bible goes on and says that 70,000 Israelites were killed from Dan to Beersheba. And the angel of God was at the threshing floor of Araunah, I think it's the Jebusite, in Jerusalem, about to wipe out parts of Jerusalem. And the Bible says God saw Jerusalem, the place of covenant, and God's mercy rose up. And all of a sudden a thought comes to David, and he says, please, let me buy your threshing floor that I may give a sacrifice to God and see this death angel broken in his power over Jerusalem. And we all know the prayer that David says, please, oh God, wipe me out, wipe my family out. I sinned. They didn't sin. And God sees the burnt offering. God sees the peace offering. God sees the sacrifice. He pays his own money for that. And the angel relents and holds back his hand, and the death stops at 70,000 Israelites. In that calamity took place there. But go on here, though, and see what it says in verse 24 and 25 of 2 Samuel 24 and 25. Very powerful verse right here about salvation. Notice what it says. And David built there an altar to the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings and a peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. This is called the threshing floor of Araunah, I think the Jebusite. Do you realize this is also the exact place that Solomon built his temple, and the Ark of the Covenant rested on that threshing floor where God's presence dwelt there. In this verse is a great pattern for altar calls and for salvation. When you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, didn't you go to an altar in your bedroom, in a church, and bow your head and bow your knee to Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior? It says David built an altar first to the Lord. Then he goes on and says, then he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The good news is when Jesus Christ comes inside your heart, he makes peace with you that are at war with God by the powers of darkness. He takes you out of darkness into his marvelous light, into a new kingdom. The war is over. God now makes peace with you by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it also says he burns up all the dross, all the chaff, all the sin, all the things of iniquities. God wants to burn those things up. But you find yourself having a new heart, new attitude, new speech, new life in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What it means is fire comes in your life. He burns up all things that displease God and brings forth new things, new furnishings into your life. Amen? But then it goes on beyond that and says this very important thing. So it says, the Lord heeded the prayers for the land. And then the blessings after that, the plague after that, was withdrawn from Israel. When the plague's withdrawn, the blessings come in. What God spoke to me about this morning, when I was studying this, reading this morning, he said these very, very important words. My whole message is about these words right here. It says this. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land. What God said to my heart this morning was, the blessings don't flow And the plagues aren't removed until my people that are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And I'll hear from heaven. And they turn from their wicked ways. And I will then heal their land. America is in spiritual crisis, because you don't know that right now. Only 1% of our young people believe the Bible's true and believe in total inerrancy of truth of the Bible, the Word of God, and believe in total, complete values of black and white as far as God's Word is concerned, absolutes of truth. Only 1% of our youth believe that today in our nation. We're seeing many churches are going backwards in their attendance, backwards in fervency. We're getting more and more slick programs, more and more lights, more and more things and stuff to appease the crowds and entertainment. But we need a fresh move of the Spirit in our churches and our people once again. We want the plagues removed. We want drought broken. We want earthquakes to stop. We want our economies to get blessed. And God says these things all happen when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. And it says God heard and heeded the prayers for the land after David brought forth peace offerings, brought forth burnt offerings, and built an altar before the Lord. I encourage you guys here today to take and find a way somehow, some way to, in your house, build an altar for God. It may be your closet. It might be your recliner. It might be your bed. But I'm saying build an altar for the Lord. Meet with Him all you can, because God wants to heal this land. He has not just blessed you. He wants to bless people through you. He is kingdom inside of you. You're also in His kingdom yourself today. He wants it to expand upon the face of this earth in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good place to say amen if you believe that. Amen. God accomplished this by sending His Son, who brought the kingdom of God upon the face of the earth. The last point, number three, in closing here today. Not only am I blessed, but I can bless others. Like a tree, not only are you getting bigger, stronger, and roots going down deeper, but you're also able to provide more shade, more protection, more fruit, more lumber, more blessing the older you get in the Lord. Amen? I don't see myself ever retiring upon this earth. I see myself refiring in Jesus' name. Amen? I want to be preaching the Word of God in my 80s and my 90s, should the Lord tarry, with strength, vigor, and health. In Jesus' name, amen. And God says, send them you guys in your old age producing much fruit is what God's order for you is in your life upon this earth. Amen. So, as James and back to the platform to help me out here, I want to say again that trees will go through strippings. They'll go through prunings. They'll go through storms. Every tree goes through this in the face of a fallen world. The good news is the leaves grow back. The limbs get stronger. The tree grows bigger, the roots go down deeper, and the fruit gets better as that tree ages upon the face of the earth. The kingdom of God within us is going to affect the lives of those around us. We are blessed with mercy, so thus we can also can be now merciful. Merciful, the word merciful, write this down also quickly. Merciful means this: to be empowered, to be compassionate, and be one who actually has the heart of God for people. To be empowered, to be compassionate, and have God's heart for people around you. In closing today, I want to say, don't ever let people talk you out of being merciful upon the face of this earth. We do short-term missions trips from time to time and take groups with us overseas. And I've had sometimes other Christians tell me, how dare you waste $2,000 to have Americans go to Kenya? You could take that $2,000 and sow that into the orphanages over there and get a whole lot more done for the orphans by sending the money over and not going yourself. But I found that people in America that go to nations like Uganda and Kenya, Burundi, whatever else, where they see folks, the needs around them, their hearts, their bowels of mercy, something is triggered in them. They start finding themselves praying more, sowing more, giving more, and doing more than ever before to bless people around them in America and overseas. You see, God doesn't say, look at all the money and things being wasted. God says, look at the compassion. You're sowing into my kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm saying don't let people shut down compassion in your life. If God says give $5 to a person that's homeless on the streets, give them $5. Don't go to the critics and get their opinions on that. Do what God tells you to do. But I'm saying sow compassion among people around us, because God will bless that. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed right now, just again for privacy's sake, and also for concentration and focus, the sake of that. We want to be those again today that understand that God has already blessed us. We are already blessed as peacemakers. We're already blessed to have a purity of heart. We're already blessed to have mercy working in us. We're already blessed to receive persecution and false accusations. All these things are going to come to us automatically as we are filled with the leaven of the kingdom of God. The blessing is there shall be an inheritance. There shall be comfort. There shall be the kingdom of God. There shall be mercy sown back to us. These are the blessings God releases for those who let God's kingdom work in them to his good pleasure. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I want to ask, first of all, today, is there anybody here this morning who you maybe say and be honest, my heart, I'm not really sure my heart is at peace with God. If I even died today and I saw God face to face through a car crash or whatever may take place, I'm not sure I'd even know that God has said to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys of heaven. I know you by name. If you're a person like that today that wants to make sure we leave this place today that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your Savior, and you want to follow him all the days of your life, would you be very, very bold this morning while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and just raise one hand right now? Say, I want to receive prayer today, Pastor Mike, that I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. I want to follow him all the days of my life. Anybody like that at all today? Those who want to get their hearts right with God, perhaps raise your hand. You say, I want to rededicate my life to God today. I want to be prayed for this today. Anybody like that at all today? All right. Let's all stand to our feet, please, because we're all many here, meat-eating, mature, seasoned, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And the fact is, there are many more people right now getting saved in the highways and byways beyond church buildings like this than are getting saved in church buildings. Like Cheryl said this morning, I think the Holy Spirit has been speaking through her very strongly. Remind yourself, the kingdom of God lives in me. I am salt and I am light. I produce hunger and thirst everywhere I go. But the good news is, those around me shall be blessed, because they shall be filled again and again by the hunger and thirst I produce by the Spirit of God inside of me, in Jesus' name. I want to pray this morning here that God gives us, like Cheryl was saying also, the ability, the opportunities, and also the focus for divine appointments this week and beyond to lead someone to Christ, to lay hands on somebody's sick body that they get healed, to bring comfort to those who are going through depression, loneliness, or fear, to bring forth counsel to those who are walking in ignorance and confusion. This week, may God make us more salty and more light-filled in Jesus' name. Let's pray that. Father God, we thank you, Lord, this day. We're going to heed this word that came forth this morning. We have a purpose on the earth. The presence of God that lives in us also lives among us, also goes before us. Every place my feet shall tread has been given to me, because it belongs to Almighty God, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I walk by faith, not by sight, and I say this week there shall be divine appointments, there shall be divine coincidences, there shall be divine circumstances, there shall be divine accidents that happen, oh God, for my sake and for other people's sake around me, that they might be blessed, they might be touched, they might be prayed for, they might be ministered to, they might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Help me, O God, to rise above apathy, religion, complacency, and lukewarmness. Place your fire, God, in me. I release right now a peace offering and a burnt offering to you. I say, burn the dross, burn the chaff, burn those things in me that are not like you are. And I praise you, God, this day for the finished work you do in me, that I am a tree that gets bigger and stronger and broader and more fruitful as the days go by. Let my roots, oh God, go down deeper and deeper in the name of Jesus Christ. Though storms may come, I will not crumble. I will not fall. I won't go through root rot or termites, but I shall be a strong oak who lives in longevity and health and prosperity and fruitfulness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, oh God. Just give a praise to God right now. Praise Him. Bless Him. Lord, I am a blessing. I will be a blessing. I am blessed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, oh God. I'm going to get Teresa Brocker. Teresa Brocker to come to the front. Take our microphone. Is she already gone? Let's have Jack to help us out again at the front. Here's Jack to dismiss us in a moment. Please again, take what's been said this morning. Try to read through some notes this week. Take the word that came through our sister as well to heart. God is a God of relationships. God is among us. God is great, greater than we think. God forgives, God cleanses, and God then says, move on. I've got a plan for your life that's unfolding like a tree, not an onion, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can come back Wednesday, do that. Sign up for things happening. Chili cook-off this coming Saturday. Please come to that. Be blessed with that. We'll see you guys here. There's one more thing is what? Barbecue tickets are available in this lobby back here. God bless you, folks. Let Jack go ahead and dismiss us in prayer. Thank you, Jack.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you that you love us. We thank you, Lord God, that you keep drawing us into your presence. And just to come into your presence, Lord God, is to be changed. We thank you for that. Father, I just ask that your blessing and your peace would be with all the saints this day as they go forth. So we just give you all the praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. Go in peace.